Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Sometimes we ask ourselves the question, well, what are we supposed to do? That is a question we often ask when we watch television or listen to the radio or get word over our Skype or however else you get it, but the world is in a mess. Well, what do you want me to do about it? That's what we say. Well, the Bible teaches us that we have a lot to do. We are to lead men, women, boys and girls, who are weary, who have nothing, who've been cast out. We have people that are eager or indifferent, and yet we are to lead them into the most holy place, the secret place in which God dwells. We're to feed the hungry. We are able to touch those who are sinful and lead them to the fountain of cleansing. We lead the bond slave to the wonderful praises of deliverance. We are to help the lame receive at least a certain nimbleness. We are to help the sad into the gladness of the Lord and the sunshine of grace. We are to help those who are proud to clothe themselves in the garments of praise. We are to help the strong from the atheism of pride, the weak from the atheism of despair. We are to help the little children see the glorious attractiveness of God the Father. We are to help the aged, the aged, telling them the wonderful good news that God is full of grace and glory and will never leave them or forsake them, that He is there to provide for them. We are to tell them about their future home once they have left this old body behind. We are to be the messengers of God, to bring His message to the world. We are to give ourselves away every day and in every way. That's God's way. That's what we are supposed to do. While we walk in the power and promises of God the Father, we need to always pray in obedience and service for His wisdom in which to walk. Let us go before the Lord now in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that You are the one that we've come to exalt this day. This day upon all days that we have chosen to be in Your house, may this truly be Your habitation. I know You do not dwell in buildings made by hands. But Father, may Your Holy Spirit dwell in us in such a way that we exude Your glory to all who witness. May You come down in a special, significant way today and teach us how we are to live, how Your purposes for us, Your promises for us are to be fulfilled. Father, we look to You because you are the one who created us. You've made us in your own image for a purpose. For a purpose. Father, may we find that purpose today. And Father, if there is anything that I should say that is not in your perfect will, cast it out of the memories of those who hear it. May they never remember a word that I say today, because those are just the words of a man. And as you well know, a weak and broken man. But Father, we want to hear the words of life and death from you. That's why we've gathered here, to hear your words today. And so, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit imprint those words on our very hearts, that we should go out of this place with the knowledge that you have placed within us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to look at Luke. We're going to look at 1 Luke. 1 Luke 68 through 79. Now let me give you a little backstory on why Zacharias is saying these things. He is saying these things because he is a priest of the order of Abijam. He is a priest. He's just a country preacher. But he's been elevated to be a priest in the house of God. And so now he prophesies about the birth of his own son. Listen to his words. Now his father Zacharias, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied saying, "Blessed is he, the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the land of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Zechariah was an old man. He was a faithful man. And when he was in the temple, where it fell his lot, we are told in the scriptures, to be in the temple in an hour of incense, and he would have been there. Imagine, you're an old man, and you've been chosen for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to say the benedictions before God. You are there in the Holy of Holies. Oh, you're aware that there's a rope tied to you to pull you out should you have a heart attack or something else, a stroke or whatever you might have that disabilitated you. There was a rope that would pull you out because you couldn't remain in the presence of God. And he was there, and he was praying the Beatitudes. The final Beatitude was, "O Lord, remember with tender mercies your children of Israel, and send forth the prophet which will announce the coming of the Messiah." Immediately, immediately upon saying those words. Angel Gabriel appeared to him. It would have been enough to frighten me to death. I heard a story about a man who was a pastor in Colorado, in Denver, and he went to a hospital. They asked him to pray for someone who was dying, and he said he would. And he prayed a prayer, you know, the kind of prayer you would pray for someone who was dying. And suddenly the person came back to life. I mean, their charts went like this and everything, and suddenly all the doctors were called and the nurses were called. My goodness, he's alive, he's alive. The pastor went down to his car. He was shaking. And he said, God, please don't ever do that to me again. Because he was shaken. Sometimes we're shaken with good news. The good news comes that our children love us, or our wife or our husband loves us. And we find that so amazing because we feel ourselves so unworthy of that love. And yet, they love us. They care for us. They desire the best for us. But it's hard for us to accept it. It's hard for us to understand that. And so when this wonderful promise has come, Zacharias says in the first chapter in 18, he says, and Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? Because he's just been told by the angel that he will have a child. Now he and his wife were old. They were way past childbearing. His wife had been barren all their life. They had been faithful people of God. But this one thing had been denied to them, the joy, the fulfillment of having a child of their own to nurture and to love, and who would love them in their old age. They needed that child, and so basically they had all this time gone without it, and they had decided that there was no way they could have it. And the angel, Gabriel, had said, your prayer has been answered. Today it is fulfilled. You're going to have a child that will be the prophet of the Most High God. It was a shock. The old man couldn't believe his good fortune. And he says, how shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you shall be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. How often do we not get the wonderful things of God, not have the promises that we have in the Scriptures, because we doubt, because we simply don't understand that they are for us, they are free and clear, but we doubt they're for us. I mean, look at us. Look at my situation. Look at your situation. Are you worthy? No, you're not worthy. This is the grace of God. The grace of God. How needlessly we suffer because we can't cast all of our cares on Him. We carry those cares around on us, and they weigh us down, and they keep us from being who God wants us to be, simply because we will not accept His promises are true. We will not do it. We won't abide the fact that God has healed us. He has healed us. He is healing us. He will heal us. That is the context of the Scripture. By His stripes we were healed. And yet we suffer in sickness because we cannot accept that as our promise. You would say, oh, well, my goodness gracious, Look at this. Look at Zechariah. He was a priest of the Most High God, and he had doubts. What about me? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to measure up with that? There is a knowledge that you have because you've sat here before. You already have the knowledge. So there's no excuse. You know that God loves you, that He cares for you. Oh, you may be spanked along the way from time to time. You may not like sitting in the corner. You may not like it when God disciplines you. But those who God loves, He will chastise. And so, yes, He touches us. Yes, we don't like it. But He only touches us for our own good. He touches us to correct us so that we know right from wrong. And He touches us to perfect us. And I hate that. At least when I know it's right or wrong, I can understand the justification. But do you have to chip away everything? My wife thought she was paying me a compliment last night as we watched a movie on television. She said, "You and Harrison Ford look a lot alike, except he's thinner than you." She said, "Especially when he has a beard." He had a beard in this movie we were watching. And I said, "My goodness gracious." And I began to look at Harrison Ford. He looks awful. Sometimes what we see in the mirror is not what God sees. We look in the mirror, we don't like our flesh tone, or we don't like this, or we don't like the fact that we're going bald, or whatever it is. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. That's the knowledge that you have now, that you should be using now. But you may say, "Oh, well, yeah, that's fine for you to say that," but in reality, as though God's Word were not reality. That's the first mistake we have. God's Word is absolute. It will be fulfilled. He says in this scripture that it will be fulfilled in due time. It may not happen when you're watching, but it's going to happen because it's God's Word. But you say to me, "Oh, well, you know, I just don't understand, you know, because you say these promises for me. You say that you can take these promises to the bank, but the facts are that my friend, who I love deeply, or my child, or my parent, or my sibling, or my significant other, they are suffering. They are suffering all kinds of things. Pain has come to them. Death has come to them. Sickness has come to them. Like a white hot knife, it pierced their heart. All of a sudden, out of the blue. What are they to do? What am I to do? This is thrust upon us. We cannot deal with this any longer." Remember this, that every time you go through a traumatic event in your life, it should bring you to the cross. You should understand the love of God. That God, who placed His own Son upon a cross for our sins, so that He died, that our sins would be laid on Him and accredited to our account. He loves us so much that no suffering we will do on this earth compares in any way with the suffering of our Lord Christ. We need to remind ourselves of that from time to time because we go through traumas. We go through all kinds of things. But our true response is to worship God in the midst of it. That's what Zechariah did. He worshiped God in the midst of his suffering. Oh, now he suffered. He was mute. He couldn't talk. You know what it's like for a preacher not to be able to talk? My wife says that I preach wherever I go. She can't stop me from preaching. Every time I open my mouth, she said, just give him a word, he'll preach. I can only imagine what it's like not to be able to speak, to have all these thoughts welling up inside you. You know, when I've sat by the side of someone who's had a stroke and their power of speech is gone, I can only imagine what it's like when they try to communicate to me something that they're thinking. It is hard. Zechariah understood that because he went through it. And all those months, for almost a year, maybe even longer, he was mute. He could not speak because he had doubted God's word. Because he had merely said, how can this be? That's all he had said. He hadn't got angry and hit the rock with his stick like Moses did. Water came gushing out of the rock. But because he had done that, Moses wasn't able to go into the promised land. There are consequences to our disobedience. And we need to understand what they are. Zechariah had doubts and fears. Zechariah had all kinds of doubts and fears. You know how hard it is for a man to love a woman all those years. Over here in our other sanctuary, there is going to be a celebration tonight of 50 years of marriage between one person and another. And they have decorated beautifully, and it's wonderful. It makes my heart sing to see how much love went into the decoration over at the other location. And yet, to love someone so much and to watch them suffer the pains of pregnancy at an advanced age. My wife is old and she's well advanced in years. I can't imagine. And in those days, childbirth wasn't like running down to the hospital and having a child. There was a lot of death in childbirth. For the woman, there was fear. For the child, there was fear. And yet, this was something that had to weigh upon a man who couldn't express himself in verbal ways. He was writing on a tablet the best he could. That's all he could do. Have you ever been in a place like that where you wanted to say something, you felt the unction to do something, that God was telling you to do it, and you refused? You said, oh no, God, not now, not now. I won't do it now. I won't do this today. I'll put it off until tomorrow. I'll procrastinate. God says there are consequences to those procrastinations. When you love someone, you hurt for them. Imagine this older lady. Maybe she wasn't that old. Maybe she was only 60 years old or so. But she's going through birth pains. Zechariah had fears. Zechariah had all kinds of fears. Fear that his baby would be born dead or malformed or come too soon. That his wife wouldn't be able to stand up to the ordeal. But when the child was born, and Zechariah knew that his wife was okay and the child was okay, and there was lots of rejoicing all around him, for this great miracle had been done, he remembered the promises of God. He remembered that Gabriel had come to him in the temple and promised him something very special. And when the father and mother were asked to name the child, everybody stood around and they were dumbfounded. They couldn't understand. He was breaking tradition. What will you name the child? They said, well, it was the tradition in that time to always name the child after the father, bar something, you know, bar Jonah, bar Jesus, whatever it was, that was the name, Barabbas, son of the father. That was the tradition. He let them know, no. And he wrote down John, because that's what the angel had said he should name his child. Everybody was shocked. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had everybody shocked because you decided to follow Christ? You decided to do something that was not in keeping with the general customs or culture or traditions of the time? And you went your own way? You went that way? God says He loves people who do things like that. But instantly upon writing down the name John, his voice was back. Hadn't spoken for a year. The very first things he says is, blessed is the Lord God of Israel. He knows that God alone could give him back his voice. And he says, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He too has been felt that redemption coming. He knows from personal experience what it is to be in bondage and what it is to be free. He understands. He says he's raised up a horn of salvation for us in his house of his servant David. And he's spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets who have been since the world began that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the land of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. After he has gone through this, maybe two-thirds of what he's about to say, then he talks about his own son. He says, you, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. You will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. You will tell them to repent. Therefore, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. He knows that his most precious possession is his son, but he also knows that that precious son was born to be a servant of God, a mere servant, nothing more. He wasn't born to be exalted. He wasn't born to have swimming pools and big things and all kinds of stuff. He was born to go before the Lord and make straight his paths. He was the one who was going to clean up the roads. He was going to clean up the hearts of people. It was going to cost him his life, but he was going to give it freely. That's what his son was going to do. Maybe you are now, or you have been, like Zechariah in a dark place. Perhaps you felt as though there was nothing you could do. Perhaps you have been in a place where there was a rope tied around you and you figured, well, the rope will pull me out. I can't do anything. What do you want me to do about it? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. These are things that are not just for the young. They're for everyone who accepts Christ. Perhaps you're finally ready for the curtains to fall, for the sunshine of grace to come into your life. Maybe you're ready to open your mind and heart and receive the gift that God gives. God alone can give it. God, who is not the God of the dead, but of the living, can give you eternal life, life abundant. He can do it, and He wants to do it. He wants to open your mind and heart to receive the good news. He wants to shatter your despair. He wants you to understand. The Father in heaven is only waiting for you to awaken after the sleep that you have gone through, the nightmare that you're in right now, the nightmare that is going to be in the future perhaps. He wants you to awaken out of that, to put that aside, to put the circumstances aside, and to receive His glory. Because He is pouring it out on every one of us today. God wants you to awaken out of the sorrows that have held you back, out of the darkness and the despair that has closed you in. He wants you not to have joy that's dampened, but to have the joy of the Lord. So God loves you. He just wants you to look up, because your redemption draws very near. He wants you to look up and remember that God loves you. God keeps His promises. God wants you to turn your life away from the world and toward Him. He wants you to do what Zechariah did, to understand that the most precious thing in your life is there simply to glorify God. Nothing more. It's not to glorify you. God wants the same from each of us. He wants us to be the voice crying in the wilderness. He wants us to call attention not to ourselves, but to God. For He is the God of all glory. He wants us always to be pointing toward Jesus, not back toward ourselves. God's way is for us to give ourselves away every day and every way. He wants us not to call attention to ourselves, but always to glorify Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. That is the answer to the question, what am I supposed to do? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do whatever it is that God wants, because we are His servants. He created us and made us new creatures for this purpose, that we should serve Him. We should serve Him. My father, earthly dad, was not a Marine when I knew him, when I was old enough to recognize him. But once a Marine, always a Marine. And he was a Master Sergeant of the Marines and made lieutenant a number of times and always got busted because he'd hit somebody, do something strange. He had an Irish temper. He was the worst man ever born of woman because he was an Irish Texan. But he would say to someone, jump, and ask for permission to come down. Not to say how high, just stay there, up in the air, until I tell you to come down. God doesn't want us to stay in our sins. God wants us to come up to Him He's come down on earth to us and lived among us. He's still here. He still lives among us. He is calling each of us today to something. If we have ears to hear.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.